We bring you greetings from Hope Bible Chapel. When we mentioned that we would be coming here and would miss meeting there with the believers today, they said, well, please tell all the saints there hello for us. And as Scott alluded a while ago, we look forward and hope that some, maybe many of you, could be up in a few weeks to the conference that we have with Brother Bill Gustafson. And so we welcome you there if the Lord allows that to come about. What a delightful time for us, also as grandparents here, to see a little one committed to the Lord. And would, as both Paul and Scott mentioned, desire prayer that the Lord would work in the lives of each of those young ones, first to bring them to himself, and then that they might walk with the Lord all the days of their life. And certainly that's the need, not only for the little ones, but for each of us as adults as well. We'll look at some things that's been on my mind. I pondered for the Lord because I knew that the time today would be a time of commitment, of Sawyer to the Lord. But I kept coming back to these things. So we'll look in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 21, a passage that I suspect is probably familiar to most of us, but some things that the Lord has put on my heart. Trust that it will be beneficial to each of us. And before we begin that, let's once again ask that the Lord would bless in this time. Father, we're grateful that you have revealed yourself to us. We recognize that it's by this great work of yours that we even know anything about you, that you sent the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth, and that was in order that we, as those who are sinful and separated from you, might be brought to you. And then, Father, you continue to make yourself known to us through the Word and through that work of your Spirit. And we'd ask that this time together today be beneficial in drawing us to you, that we might see the Lord Jesus Christ in a new and a fresh way, and our hearts be moved to walk close with him. So we commit the time to you. We'd ask for your blessing, recognizing that if there's any benefit to be gained today, Father, you must do it. So we commit our way to you now and pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The Gospel of John, chapter 21. Perhaps you've read and pondered and rejoiced in these verses before. We won't read the whole chapter just for time's sake. Perhaps we'll get it covered, but we'll look and see. But just the first verse, I'll be reading from New American Standard. Realize that that may perhaps be a little bit different than the New King James or the King James. Obviously, the meaning is the same. Verse 1, after these things, Jesus manifested or showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, or the Sea of Galilee, and he showed himself, or manifested himself, made himself known in this way. We can pause there just a minute and ponder some of the things. It's easy for me, maybe not you. I'm pretty simple-minded, and I'll read through this and charge on to the next place. But consider this just a minute. After these things, the Lord showed himself, or made himself known to the disciples. After what things? Well, probably the literal intent is, we're told in verse 14, we read this is now the third time that Jesus was manifested or showed himself to the disciples. Referring back a little bit earlier, that the Lord had appeared to the disciples after he'd been raised from the dead. You remember that Thomas wasn't there. And so a week later, the Lord appeared to the disciples again. But I want to perhaps take a little bit of liberty. Don't want to be guilty of wrongly spiritualizing the Scripture, but I want us to consider what other things had just happened, after what things. And in fact, it might suggest that the greatest event in history had just occurred, and that was that the Lord Jesus Christ, not that he was born, that's important, years earlier, but that the Lord Jesus had just been crucified. He came to the earth with the express purpose that he might give himself. You remember that the Lord told the disciples a number of times, "We're going to Jerusalem, I'll be mistreated, and they'll kill me, then I'll be raised the third day." And you remember Peter said, "Forbid it, Lord, that can't happen to you." But you see, that's exactly why the Lord Jesus had come to the earth, that he might die for my sin and for your sin. In fact, led by the Spirit of the Lord, Paul would write to the Romans and he'd say, in fact, that was such a significant event that the Lord looked past the sins, even in the Old Testament, looking forward to that time, not when the sins under the law would be covered, but that those sins would be removed, taken away. And how was that? It was done when the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary. The Lord allowed that one who was without sin to die for those who have sin. That's just like you and me. The greatest event of all history, we just remembered that this morning, that the Lord Jesus gave himself for us. It was after these things that the Lord made himself known. And I want to capitalize on that word again to the disciples. The Lord had appeared to Peter, to the ladies after the resurrection, to a number or a handful of folks. But we're told here again that he appeared again to the disciples. And I rejoice in that so much because, naturally speaking, if someone, you know, opposes me, if I have problems with someone, if there's conflict, or someone, you know, does something that, you know, offends me or whatever, and I, after a number of times, I'm ready to back off from that individual and let them go their way, if, you know, that kind of thing. But I rejoice so much that we see in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he didn't just walk away. You remember some of the things that happened. Every one of these disciples that we'll read about here in this account had fled from the Lord at the crisis moment in time. Peter himself, who other than the Lord Jesus was a main character in the story that we'll read about here, he had denied that he even knew the Lord Jesus. A lot of things that were negative in nature, we might say. But the Lord took the initiative to go to the disciples and he made himself known to them. Again, we read. I rejoice in that. Skip the middle part of the verse and the last part. And he showed himself or made himself known in this manner, or by this manner, or in this way. I want to suggest to us that the Lord today as well makes himself known to us, those of us who know the Lord Jesus, actually makes himself known to those who are without Christ as well, that they might come to know him and experience the same joy that we have as believers. But for those of us who know the Lord Jesus, he makes himself known again, and he might do it this way or that way or this way. Well, how do you mean? I don't mean that the Lord appears visibly to me. You see, the disciples here had a privilege of seeing. In fact, John would write later on in an epistle that that's exactly what they walked with, they heard, they touched, they handled the Word of Life. Physically, they were with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not so for us today. We don't see him. But as the writer of Hebrews would remind us that even though the Lord had communicated and spoken to men in various ways in the past. In this time, in this day, He's spoken to us through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have His Word here before us, that which helps us to see and to know this one that we consider this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it was in the particular way, and we'll note some of those things this morning, that the Lord made Himself known to us. And I suggest that the Lord wants to reveal Himself to you and me as well in various ways in which we'll suggest here. Isn't it amazing that our Lord is so gracious and patient? In fact, when the Apostle Paul would write to the Corinthians and he would speak of what love really was, remember there were some conflict that was going on there, he would remind them that love was patient, love was kind, love wasn't provoked, doesn't take into account a wrong suffered. Think about that one, my Lord. He bears all things, endures all things. We see the Lord Jesus demonstrating all of that when He would make Himself known to the disciples again. And where did He do that? He did it at the sea. We read here, Sea of Tiberias, the same place as the Sea of Galilee. It was a familiar place. We read about it often in the Scripture. There were some notable scenes. Wouldn't have to probably tell you some of those scenes. You know that the Lord Jesus Himself walked on the water on that sea. He was here on the shores of that sea that He fed some 4,000 people. It was here that even Peter walked on the water. So there were some notable events that occurred right here, but I want to suggest something else to you as well. That the Sea of Galilee, for our consideration this morning, was also a place that was somewhat mundane. If we were to look back in Luke 5, and we won't do that now, we would read that it was Peter and some of his fishing business partners that were sitting in the boat repairing their nets. Not what you would think is a dramatic, notable event, just normal, mundane, routine kinds of thing. It was a place or a means of transportation when the Lord would say, we're going over here. They got in the boat. It's like we would get in the car and travel somewhere. It was a common place. There was commerce that took place there. They fished so that they might take. So in some ways, it was a routine kind of place as well. And I suggest that because you remember that it was in this place and in this way that the Lord wanted to make Himself known or to show Himself to the disciples. And I suggest that the Lord also wants to reveal Himself to you and me. It doesn't always have to be the dramatic. We anticipate quite an interesting time in later on in April when our brother Bill Gustafson is there and the Word's presented. We're encouraged and we're moved, in the Spirit. We trust that that'll be the case. But it isn't just in those times that the Lord makes Himself known. It's in our day-by-day activity when others see me in my normal routine. I wonder, are they able to see anything in my own life that would reflect the Lord Jesus Christ? Or perhaps it's in that, hopefully, daily time that we're looking in the Word of God, and those things of the Lord move us and show us. You remember that one of the marvelous things about the age that we live in is that for every one of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, God, in the form of the Spirit of God, has come to indwell and live within each of us. And the Lord Jesus said about that to the disciples when He was here, I tell you that it's to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now what about this helper, the Spirit? When the helper comes, who will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me, the Lord Jesus told the disciples there. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and disclose it or make it known to you. So that's why I suggest that it might be that just in my quiet time reading the Scripture, that the Lord, by His Spirit, points out those things of the Lord Jesus and makes Him known to me in a new and a fresh way. If I might say again, in this manner, as we read about in the first verse. We got the privilege to enjoy seeing our son, daughter-in-law, dedicate or commit this little one, our grandchild, to the Lord, that that little one might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior and walk with him all the days of his life. Oh, that Sawyer, or Samuel, or we could say Prescott, Piper, Haddon, whoever, the young ones, might be able to see in parents' life, Rebecca and Tim, or in grandparents' life, or fellow believers, uncles, aunts, friends, that the Lord Jesus Christ is real and being manifest, and that they might be able to see him in our lives. And it won't happen if I'm not spending time before the Lord learning of Him. It might be in the mundane, quiet times of day by day things at home. It might be dramatic kinds of things with special times. But the Lord wants to make Himself known to us in whatever the avenue. And we give thanks that He's able to do that. Verse 2. We read that 7 of the 11 apostles were together here. Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and 2 others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." And they said to him, "We will also come with you." They went out and got into the boat. That night they caught nothing. It's interesting if we're together and, you know, the saints here, if there were a handful of believers together, it's interesting that among that group, just naturally speaking, because of God created us in this way, there would be some who would naturally just take a lead in things and do something. I don't know, probably those who study those things could give us certain facts about that, but within a group, there are some who, you know, initiate and are aggressive and take the lead. And there are others of us, I might include myself, who are pretty simple-minded and will just follow along. But whatever the case is, well, of these 7 that we read about here, there's no question that Peter, he was a leader. He was aggressive. We see him oftentimes taking the lead sometimes when maybe he should. The Lord saw that. The Lord called Peter to be used by him, as we'll note here in just a minute. But neither is the one that leads superior to the one that follows. That's not the case. God designed us each in a different way to accomplish His purposes. But for any of us, it's incumbent upon us as those who know the Lord Jesus that we make sure that the way that we lead or go, or who we follow, if we're one following, is in the will of the Lord, that we not go astray. Now, perhaps you've considered these things in this chapter about Peter, and, you know, there are those who say, well, Peter was ready to chunk it all and cast it away. He was walking away from it. And there are others who say, no, that was not the case. It doesn't matter which side you come down on that. I have been on both sides of that, and I've waffled back and forth about which way that is. But the good thing for me today is that regarding what we're looking at, I don't have to declare where I see that right now. But Peter was a leader, and I do suggest to you, based on our story here, I wanted to suggest to us anyway that the disciples were not thinking as spiritually, if I can use that term, as they might need to, as they followed Peter when he said, I'm going fishing, whatever the intent was. And the reason that I suggest that is, let's look a little bit further. Of course, we're told that they didn't catch anything in verse 3. But when the day, verse 4, was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Now, they followed Peter fishing. But I want to suggest, hopefully not spiritualizing this too much, that the Lord Jesus was near to where they were, but they were unaware that he was close. The Lord even spoke to them. And granted, there was a distance here. He spoke to them, but they didn't perceive or recognize that it was the Lord. And so, my question for us is it possible that I too might be walking, carrying on normally, whether I'm leading or following or neither in any case? Is it possible that I'm not sensing that the Lord is making himself known to me? I know that with my own self, it's possible, it's easy to get caught up, get occupied, get to doing something, and not be thinking, recognizing what it is that the Lord has for me. And he's wanting to make himself known to me time and again. And I'm grateful for that. Others are watching me as well. You see, Peter led them all, and they were fishing. They fished all night and didn't catch a thing. This also was part of the way that the Lord made himself known. Failure, in this case, to catch any fish. You see, the Lord is sovereign, and he's able to orchestrate all of those kind of things to bring about the desired result. And I'm so thankful for that. Oftentimes, we can't see exactly what the Lord's doing. We can't understand what his plan is. In fact, there's a song written about that. But we can trust his heart. So we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We can know that his ways are always perfect and right. Years and years ago, Sue gave to me, may have been actually after our oldest son was born, I don't know, gave me a poem. I'd like to read it today. It would apply to Tim in regard to the training up of the children, but it would apply in a general sense to every one of us today as well, because there are those who are watching us. The title of it was Walk a Little Plainer, Daddy. It says, walk a little plainer, Daddy, said a little boy so frail. I'm following in your footsteps, and I don't want to fail. Sometimes your steps are very plain. Sometimes they're hard to see. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for you are leading me. I know that once you walked this way many years ago, and what you did along the way, I'd really like to know. For sometimes when I'm tempted, I don't know what to do. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for I must follow you. Someday when I'm grown up, you're like I want to be. Then I'll have a little boy who will want to follow me. And I would want to lead him right and help him to be true. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for we must follow you. There are others who are looking at our life who need to see the Lord Jesus Christ revealed or made known in our life as well. Maybe a parent, maybe a fellow employee, maybe you're an employer who has employees, maybe it's a neighbor, a relative, a friend. Others are watching us. It's interesting, there was a friend that I worked with for years. It was interesting because Tim brought it up last night when we were together. You wouldn't know him if I mentioned his name anyway, but the guy was quite a character. We could spend the rest of the time talking about this guy. But I'm convinced that he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He came from a background, a religious system that was very religious, but they had left out Christ out of this. And as I said, I was convinced over time that this fellow came to know the Lord. Perhaps even during the time that we worked together, it may have happened just before that. But nonetheless, he died about a month and a half ago. Went to his funeral. There was a family. There were a few folks from where we worked that knew him. Not close friends, but... and the family had comments to say about this one. And as that was wrapping up, there was another who stood up and he said, I'd asked permission to say something. And he said, I was in prison and Walter came to see me while I was in prison. And he talked to me about Jesus, he said. He brought me a Bible. He came to visit me a number of times. When I got out of prison... He came and he associated with me. He carried me to lunch, he said. He said, this guy even invited me to his house to meet his family. Humorously, he said, now, if you haven't noticed, I'm not the same color as this guy. It was a black fellow. But Walter had showed kindness to this guy and he said he bought me a car, a used car to get around here. And he said, I came to say, this must be what Jesus is like. I couldn't take it anymore. I bawled like a baby at that funeral. You see, because of all the things that we might point out about Walter's life that created conflict and people and all, this man saw the Lord Jesus Christ in Walter. It was as a result. Of course, the Lord is the only one who saves. It wasn't Walter. But the Lord used him as that conduit to what? To make the Lord Jesus Christ known. So it may be that the Lord wants to use us as he makes himself known to us in the Scripture, that we might be used as well to make the Lord Jesus Christ known to another. What a great testimony. Oh, that might be said about us. You know, hopefully the Lord will appear and we'll be raptured up. But what a great testimony before the Lord if someone says, wow, I saw the Lord Jesus Christ in the life of that person. They caught nothing all night. Now, I can identify with that, of going fishing. But this was designed of the Lord. The problem with that is that they had not recognized that the Lord Jesus was real close. And that's why I'm suggesting that whatever their state or condition, at least there was something that needed fine-tuning with the disciples. And that is, they needed to realize that he was there. He was seeking them still, and he was looking to make himself known to them. How is it? He asked them a question, verse 5. Jesus said to them, Children, do you have any fish? Have you caught anything? And they answered him, no. Still, at this point, they had not recognized that it was the Lord Jesus. And the Lord gave an instruction to them. His command was to cast the net on the other side of the boat, and you'll find a catch. They did this, says in verse 6, and they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Now, it was when they obeyed the Lord that it was made known to them. In this case, with Peter, he still didn't. I can identify with this. You know, I'm into doing this, and, you know, this is what I'm occupied with. The fish, or the great catch of fish, was not the thing that the Lord was trying to make known. He was trying to reveal himself to the disciples. And so, it was John, we're told in verse 7, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. So, when Peter heard it, John had to tell him, it's the Lord, Peter. He put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. You see, this was a repeat. We look back in Luke 5. This is the way that the Lord Jesus had introduced himself to Peter and to other disciples. You remember in that case where they were just cleaning their nets, and crowd of people, and the Lord asked Peter if he could use his boat to get out away from him. He spoke. When he finished, he said, cast your net out in the deep water and you'll catch. Peter said, we have fished all night. We fished hard, it says, all night. We didn't catch a thing. But at your command, we'll do it. They did. And the catch was great. Peter said, get away from me, Lord, for I'm an unholy man. The Lord said, don't be afraid. He told him, follow me. The very same thing that he would tell him later on here. Follow me. You see, but if we're preoccupied with things, then we miss out on the Lord revealing himself to us. He wanted to make himself known to the disciples. Move along quickly if we can. I just need to suggest this, and I'll perhaps it's something that you already have considered before. But I need to be remembering and considering those ways that the Lord has revealed himself to me. You remember, it's recorded both in Matthew and Mark that the Lord gathered disciples after one of the miracles that is recorded to get in the boat, to go across to the other side, to get away from the hubbub of them wanting to make the Lord Jesus king. And it's told that when they got in the boat that they had forgotten to take bread. The Lord said, watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees. He was teaching them about the sin of the Pharisees, and they said that, bread. We don't have anything to eat for the meal. The Lord knew what they were thinking, and he said, listen, have you not gained any insight over the fact that you took 5 loaves, 2 fish, fed 5,000 people, and you picked up 12 baskets, or 7 loaves and a few fish, and fed 4,000 people, and picked up 7? Don't you see? Bread's not the issue. Don't you see the catching of the fish is not the issue? It's the Lord who's making himself known to us. And I need to remember of those ways that the Lord has dealt with me and shown me himself, so that I don't continue to have to be taught the same thing over and over again. And I have to be careful to talk about Peter. Peter was one who had left everything to follow the Lord Jesus. He was one of the three that had gone into the room where Jairus' daughter had died. The Lord took him in that he might be raised. He, along with James and John, saw the glory of the Lord, we're told, on the mountain there. He was one who was privileged to proclaim the gospel, both Jew and Gentile first. He alone, as we mentioned a while ago, walked on the water. Nobody asked him talk about that. But I suggest here that he was walking and his eyes were not open. Now, quickly, skip down to verse 9. They got out on the land and they saw a charcoal fire laid and fish placed on it and bread. Just a reminder to us, I'm sure much could be said about this. The Lord doesn't have to have what you or I offer to Him. He's God. He creates it all. He can make the fish run into the net or not. It's no big deal to Him. But He wants to use. The next verse tells us that. He said, bring what you've got. Thought it was interesting. Peter ran. And by himself, it indicates, drug the net up. That was interesting. He was to be that one who proclaimed the gospel first to Jew and Gentile. But the Lord would make Himself known to the disciples. There was doubt about who He was at first, but look at verse 13. No, I'm sorry, verse 12. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Isn't it wonderful? The Lord sought them out to make Himself known to them. He provided for them. Now, in every way, come have breakfast, He said. None of the disciples ventured to question Him, who are you, knowing that it was the Lord. They didn't know that earlier. But He made Himself known, and now we see that there was no doubt in their mind. I want to suggest to us as well that as we're with the Lord and as He makes Himself known to us, we become more and more enthralled and know who He really is. Suggest something. There's much here. We won't look at this. That Peter came to understand. You remember the time that the Lord spent in the next few verses there with Peter as He questioned Him. Remember, Peter is the one who said, if everybody else walks away from You, Lord, not me, I won't. And so the Lord Jesus takes opportunity here. I used to think that the Lord questioned Peter in front of everyone else, but changed my opinion about that. I don't think He did. The reason why is look in verse 20. It says, Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following. I want to suggest that the Lord Jesus took Peter aside as He questioned him about, do you really love Me? Do you really love Me? Do you really love Me? He would ask him three times, and you know that the third time He would lower the standard, so to speak. Peter was well aware of that. But notice what he says in verse 17. As the Lord asked him the same time, and He asked him, do you have fond affection for Me now, Peter? And Peter would reply in the middle of verse 17. He said to Him, Lord, You know all things. He had said earlier, You know that I have fond affection for You. You know that I have fond. Now He says, Lord, You know everything. What a marvelous thing. If we were to ask the children or any of us adults today, does our God reign and rule today? Everyone would say, why, sure. Sure He does. But do I demonstrate that practically in my life? Do I really, from the heart, as Peter, I believe, came to understand here, You know everything, Lord. You know everything. You know my heart. And that's wonderful because I remind us again that Lord Jesus manifested Himself to the disciples again. And He wants to do that again and again and again to you and me as well. Wonderful thing about Peter. You see, at this point it looked, wow, things are in kind of disarray here. These are going to be the ones who are going to proclaim the gospel and make all this known. But notice what the Lord says in a prophetic means. John gives us commentary about this. In verse 18, John gives a commentary in verse 19, but let's read in verse 18. The Lord Jesus to Peter said, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go. When Peter was younger, he was energetic. He did a lot of things. Sometimes it wasn't exactly what was supposed to be done, but he was in control of things. But he had some lessons to learn. But from this point forward, as he grew older, there was something that was going to take place. And that is that others would take him and bind him. Now, how do we know that? Because of the commentary added by the Apostle John, verse 19. He said this, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. Suggest to you that as a result of the Lord making himself known to Peter, the disciple, again and again and again, the result would be that in the days to come, Peter would glorify God. He did. In fact, when we read those verses in Acts, Peter saw after this man had been made well, he replied to the people, "Men of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Or why do you gaze at us as if by our own power or piety we had made him walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, the one whom you delivered up and disowned in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you disowned the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, but put to death the Prince of Life, the one whom God raised from the dead, a fact to which we are all witnesses. And on the basis of faith in his name, it's the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man whom you see and know." And he would go on and proclaim Christ and how men might come to know him. Later on, when he was among the rulers of that day, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we're on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man, as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands here before you in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that's been given among men by which we must be saved." Pretty powerful message that he proclaimed. But here was the result. Now, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. You see, the Lord Jesus had made himself known to them. And having recognized that, as they went forward, people were able to recognize they had been in the presence of the Lord Jesus. And you heard what powerful message they proclaimed. Souls were saved. Even some of those religious leaders, as we read about later in Acts. So, the Lord wants to make himself known to us. What was the instruction that the Lord gave to Peter? The end of verse 19. He said to him, "Follow me. Follow me." And the Lord wants to say the same thing to you and me. He said it from the beginning. That's what he told Peter and the disciples when they... He said, "Don't be afraid. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." The Lord wants us to follow him today. He wants to make himself known to us. And he does that. The Lord is never slack on what he does. But oh, that the Lord might help you and me to see him, to recognize him as he's near to us. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that in it we see your workings and how you've made yourself known to us through this one, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the great kindness, the great patience and perseverance that you demonstrate in loving us. We're grateful to you, Father, for all of your ways. You do everything perfectly. We give you glory today. Give thanks in his precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.